The Virtual Curbside is a production of the Utah Chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics, the Utah AAP, working together to improve children's lives through education, advocacy, and networking. Hi, this is Paul Workus from the Utah AAP. Welcome to this week's edition of the Virtual Curbside, where we bring pediatric providers together with subspecialists to get smarter about all things pediatric and better acquainted as a community of caregivers. The Virtual Curbside is brought to you in part by a generous grant from Primary Children's Hospital. Primary Children's Hospital, the child first and always.
Welcome back to the Virtual Curbside. It always makes me happy when there's a fifth week in the month because we get to have a book club with Dr. Angelo Giardino. Welcome back, Angelo.
Thank you, Paul.
How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Thank you.
Glad to hear it. We have a special guest today, Dr. Neil Davis. Many of you may know Neil. The inimitable Neil Davis is here with us, A, because we like talking to Neil, and B, because he not only recommended the book that we're reading today, but he represents the mindset, teaser, for this book. Welcome, Neil.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
So the book that we're reading this month is Mindset by Carol Dweck. Now, Neil, you recommended the book. Tell us what this book means to you and give us a little background about the book. Do you feel prepared to do that?
Sure. So Mindset, I think it's a common book. I'm going to guess that many of the listeners here are familiar with it, but Carol Dweck is a psychologist at Stanford, or has been. I don't know if she's retired now. She did a lot of work at Columbia as well. And the concept of mindset is a way to look at life, I think, as a pediatrician, from a developmental perspective rather than a fixed or determined perspective. A way to see ourselves as not having to prove our worth by achieving some level, but by finding value in the challenge and in the opportunities to grow. It's the kind of thing that we would hope every child could envision his or her life to be like as they start out. And frankly, I think it's inherent in childhood right from the beginning.
So she divides the world into two kinds of mindsets, right? And we're not... Yeah. We're not all in one category all the time, but she talks about a fixed mindset and a growth mindset. What's the difference between those things?
Yeah, great question. And it's a bit dichotomous, but I think that's important to understand the concept. A fixed mindset is someone who thinks that this is all about talent. This is about what I've achieved. I must achieve a certain level to find self-worth. I need to always be the best at whatever I do. Any criticism is a sign of weakness or a threat to myself. Any failure is someone else's fault. I'm a victim of something and I'm going to find something to blame. So it's more of, I believe in this set fixed perception of myself and others. A growth mindset is very much based on the idea that I want to learn, I want to develop, I want to nurture that kind of learning and development in other people. So for example, criticism is not seen as a threat, it's seen as an opportunity. It totally flips failure and mistakes on its head. So, you know, in some ways, I think it's honestly true in our lives that I have learned by far more from the mistakes and failures that I've had than from times where things have gone smoothly. And so it really embraces that effort, hard work, mistakes are all part of a great journey of growth in life that we can nurture in ourselves and also really promote and empower in other people.
It seems interesting, doesn't it, that as you go through the book, you can try on lots of different hats in the process. It pertains to me as a learner. It pertains to me as a teacher. It pertains to me as a parent. It pertains to me as someone who is teaching people how to teach. How do you implement that? Because I don't know that that fits very neatly with the way we do things. You know, I was reflecting on medical education. I think ideally it would work very well in medical education. I'm not sure it always fits neatly with the way we've done medical education. You want to comment on that, Angelo?
Sure. You know, Paul, as you say that, I think of this conversation we've been having, certainly for my 30 plus years in medical education, this notion of formative evaluation feedback, and then the summative evaluation, you know, the evaluation like a grade. And so much about medical education is shifting towards giving ongoing feedback, so that if you're in a growth mindset, you're learning from maybe not understanding which antibiotic you should have selected, as opposed to getting a grade that you didn't get the right answer. So to me, I think, in addition to the fact that Neil recommended the book, so when he recommends something to read, I read it. The fact that this book is so steeped in the idea that ongoing feedback is a gift, and that's like a euphemism, but it's really true. If you're in a growth mindset, when somebody gives you some feedback, you can reflect on it and then add to your growth trajectory. Now, all feedback isn't equal. And sometimes you listen to feedback and you go, that misses the point. But it's really this growth. And like you said, Neil, it's like a developmental process. I'm at the age now where I like to still think I'm developing. So it's kind of cool to think that even like near the twilight of your career, you're still growing, you're still learning. And in medical education, we are really getting away from this laser-like focus on what's the grade you're going to get, and more, what did you learn during the rotation? That's hard to do because our world is very focused on grades and ranking and benchmarks. But if you buy into this feedback growth mindset, you just are like a sponge. You love when somebody comments on how something happened. So that's, I think, why I really resonate. And that, one more thing. This book is, you could change some of the words, and it's a book about quality improvement. It's about figuring out where you are and where you'd like to be and how to get there. And it rejects that fixed notion that it is what it is. It isn't what it is. You can always change. There's a way and there's always another way. And with colleagues in quality improvement, you figure out how to make it better. And that's why I think I love this book.
Neil, you mentioned the developmental perspective. Can you give us some angle on parenting tips that come from adopting a growth mindset?
You bet. And this is personal, just with my own parenting. I came across this book at a time when some of my kids were still young and like learning to read and that kind of thing. And one of my kids was having a harder time. It just didn't come as quickly. And so I was so grateful to encounter this, because one of the things that is very clear in there is how you praise your child and how to build their confidence. So that I don't say to my daughter, wow, you read those words so well. You are so smart. Good job. Which sounds like a good thing to say. It turns out that message is, oh, if I come to words that I don't know, what does that mean about me? Maybe I'm going to stick with things that are easier for me to do. So there's kind of a subtext to the way we may traditionally give praise in a parenting perspective. I went and we really, maybe I was a little over the top with it, but it really seemed successful as I talked with her. Wow, I really saw how you struggled on that word. That was fantastic. You really tried really hard on that one and you kept trying. That was fantastic. Let's split it up and let's work at it. Boy, you worked so hard. I'm just so proud of you. And gosh, I don't want to be emotional about this, but my daughter, though, just literally within a couple months, her willingness and her ability increased. And it was so fun because I was like, wow, look at this. You know, there's a way of doing things differently. So, Paul, I hope that answers your question. So I do talk to parents about that. Yeah.
No, it's interesting because at one point, Dr. Dweck talks about what happens if your child flies through a worksheet and gets everything right. She said the right response to that isn't, boy, nice job, you're so smart. It's, oh, it looks like that one was too easy. Let's find something that's more challenging for you to do. That's not very natural for the way most of us do things, is it?
No, it isn't. And so it was something that I consciously had to think about. But frankly, it really makes sense.
There's also, I think, kind of potentially an implied contract in all of this. Angela, you mentioned that the ability to accept criticism as an opportunity for growth, not all criticism is offered in the same spirit necessarily. And it seems to me that the contract, the way she describes it, goes both ways, that I, as a learner, have to learn how to see the growth potential in criticism, which is not very comfortable. Sometimes it's not offered in a very nurturing manner. Is that safe?
Yeah, I think you're right, Paul. And, you know, she also talks about Aaron Beck, and he's the psychologist that developed cognitive behavioral therapy. And, mm-hmm. you know, the real transformational paradigmatic shift that Dr. Beck did was that he said it's really important to understand your frame of reference. And I think in a growth mindset, you hear the feedback and you determine if it's helpful or not, but you don't internalize it and say, oh, they're against me or they don't like me. You try to keep yourself centered on the fact you're on this growth trajectory and people are going to offer you feedback all the time. And if it's useful, use it. And if it isn't, don't take it in as if you're not valuable. And I kind of feel like being able to kind of digest feedback is really helpful. So, you know, again, I would say for the most part in the educational environment, we really are trying to help the learner grow. And what I try to do with faculty is say, sometimes the learner is giving you feedback. So when you give feedback and the person's face contorts, maybe you have to think about how you're delivering the feedback. So you're actually getting feedback while you're giving feedback. So you can become a better faculty member, even if you have to give a difficult message.
That's an important lesson to be able to learn. I don't know that we always very well trained in how to do that. I remember one of my classmates coming back from his first presentation on third year medical school rounds, and the response to him, which is, you know, sort of classic, very, very old school, was, are you really this stupid, or are you just trying to confuse me? That's not very helpful. And, no. And finding the pearl in that particular oyster may be a little bit more difficult. But I do think that coming to a learning situation with the implication that what we're trying to do is to improve, that enables me then to try to find the pearl in that. But also that that feedback is designed to help me grow, not to put me in my place.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, since we're regaling each other with stories, I remember in medical school, this very prominent internal medicine, this is probably why I did not go into internal medicine, came by and he took the you know, back in those days we had paper charts. He looked through the chart and he looked at me and he goes, you know, there's everything in this chart, but what I need. And I said, well, Dr. So-and-so, I'm supposed to be detailed because I'm the medical student. So I felt like I was giving him the gift of feedback as well. So I was into the growth mindset a long time ago.
So far ahead of the curve. One of the things that I think, Neil, you alluded to this a minute ago, and I think it is difficult because I think that figuring out how to give praise is very difficult, partly because, you know, referring to something like Malcolm Gladwell's Outliers book, that we tend to stratify people based on what they've done. And that doesn't necessarily enhance the ability to enter this sort of mindset growth contract. Comment on that?
Yes, you know, that is interesting. It is going to be natural for society to do that, to stratify and to award and so forth. I think that the goal there is still to praise effort. So if you're talking about parenting, for example, if a child earns an award, you worked so hard, you know, I'm really proud of all the work you did. And that's nice to be recognized for your effort. That's, you know, so I think there are ways to think through that, or your ability to be a good player with your team and partner with your team. And, you know, this represents a lot of effort to be good at teamwork. You know, there are different ways I think you could phrase that too.
For instance?
Well, those are, I think, are some of the examples, is really focusing on praising the effort and so forth. I do have some thoughts, Paul, about how this plays out in clinic, actually, if you don't mind, just about how the mindset. One of the things that I have come to really appreciate about my own little clinic culture, and I think mindset has a lot to do with culture. If I'm seeing a patient and like it's a rash and I'm not exactly sure, I think I have an idea about what this is. Thankfully, we have a culture of say to the parent, you know, hold on for a second. let me step out and get one of my partners. I think many of us practice this way. I think this is common. Let me go get someone. It's always great when we can put our heads together and then just bringing people in. Or when we go through a scenario and I'm the parent, it's a difficult thing. And I'm, boy, I'm not sure I really know. I've got some thoughts, but what do you think? And then the parent will give some thoughts. Well, I read about this. I thought about this. I said, wow, you know, that's really interesting. You might be right. I have come to become a, I don't know if a fan's the right word, but almost a supporter of, you know, when parents Google thing, we traditionally have said, oh, you know, tell parents not to get on Google and this and that. Boy, that is not my experience most of the time. I'd say sometimes that could be an issue. But most of the time, I learn a ton from them. You know, I think it's this. Oh, really? Sometimes I hadn't heard of what they think. Sure. Tell me about that. What do you do about that? And sometimes they've been right. And it's just been so neat to have that experience, because at the end of the day, it's about the kid. It's not about me. It's not about my ego. It's about helping that child get the best care. I have learned to really, really respect and value and be very open with parents and have those conversations. And I think I'm providing a lot better care.
You know, Neil, it's about the kid, but it's also about the parent, isn't it? And what you've done in the process is you've acknowledged their effort in working through a difficult problem.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. Yeah, I guess so. That's a good point.
I often tell parents that Googling is great, but I'm always available as a Google filter. And that's something that we can work on together. But for parents to expend the energy to try to figure something out, then I think making our encounter a safe place to talk through that, I hope, as you've mentioned before, acknowledges and encourages that kind of effort.
Yeah, and I will try to say, wow, it sounds like you found some good sources. And I try and emphasize that kind of thing too, you know, as far as that goes. But I have learned a lot that way, and I've found it to be really helpful. I think the other thing too is if going a direction that's not as productive, what I also learn is what they're worried about.
Right.
And that's also really important for me to value and to learn from. So,
right. Because when it comes right down to it, we're trying to help equip parents to take the best possible care of their children. And I, you know, it seems to me in reflecting on this book that encouraging a growth mindset, both for the way they're giving feedback to their children, but also to the way they approach parenting, is a valuable gift.
Yeah. So I've really enjoyed that. And sometimes when I've had students with me, you know, it's been a great thing too, to ask what they think. And if we're collectively talking about it and we're not sure, I love to say, let me go get one of my partners. I really think that message of it's not about me, it's not about my ego, it's about the child and about supporting this family. That's right. One of the things I love about mindset is I'm growing, I'm learning, and it puts the center on the child and the family.
Yeah, if I could just throw out there, you know, the other side of that, because it's not about you as much as it is about the people you're interacting with. I think in the growth mindset, in any realm that we're in, if you have that growth mindset, it's easier to be grateful and express gratitude a lot because you're really appreciative of what other people are contributing. And quite frankly, it becomes a little bit easier to apologize when things don't go well. And like my whole ego structure isn't at risk if I made a mistake and I tell somebody, I'm sorry, you know, I perceived it differently or I thought this was the best thing, but it turned out not to be. And I will say that there's something about an apology that heals the heart. And if somebody feels like you did make a bad decision and you're willing to say you wish you had did it differently or, you know, whatever, that helps them move on. And I kind of feel like that's a really good way to live your life so that you don't become a stumbling block for somebody else.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things we talk about frequently is the value of collaboration and the value of coaxing people out of their silos. And if you adopt this idea that we can all learn from our efforts and learn from each other, we're much more likely to be able to do that rather than just telling people you need to get out of your silos and you got to collaborate. And I'm going to tell you how.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Neil, any last words on the book?
Oh, I think it's also fun. I mean, if people like sports, there's all kinds of sports stories in there. And you know, she chooses some heroes and villains, and I won't tell you who she chooses or whatever. It's fun that way. Or if you're into business and business culture, there's a lot of those examples. But
again,
I think
heroes
the
and
heart of a
pediatrician,
there definitely are. The heart of a pediatrician, though, there's just some great stuff about education and parenting. I mean, I'll just mention one last quick tip that we really have enjoyed as a family, and we got to start doing this again. But, you know, at dinner, just asking, all right, who had a good fail today? And then we've heard some pretty funny stories. And, you know, my wife's really good at this and talking about those things and our kids. And I think it just, you know, building that idea that it's okay to try things. It's okay to learn from things. It's about learning and it's about growth. So that's just another fun one that that comes from the book that I thought was fun. So it's a great book. Lots of great stories in there. I guess I would leave it at that, Paul.
Terrific. Thanks for recommending it. Angelo, any final words?
No, I really appreciate Neil recommending it, and reading it just really helped me connect again with why I think quality improvement is so fundamentally important to healthcare. It's a journey, you know, as you learn information, you change your mind. And if you're in the growth mindset, you're willing to change your mind. You're not digging your heels in and saying, no, if I agree that this is a little different than I thought, the world doesn't fall down. It just gets better. So I love this book. And thanks, Neil, for recommending it.
Not only are we willing to change our minds, it's a virtue to change your mind. It's a virtue to be able to have that kind of self-reflection, to be able to say, oh, I'm on the wrong path.
So, Paul, being a moderate is a good thing. I really believe that. And I think that's going to become popular again someday.
Bringing back moderate, Angela Giardino. Well, thanks again for everybody being with us. Neil, I hope you join us again sometime.
Thanks for the opportunity.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. We'll be back next week with another regular topic.
Thanks for joining us. We look forward to getting together again next time. The Virtual Curbside is available on iTunes or wherever you find your other favorite podcasts. Be sure to like us and subscribe. We want you to like us both because we're needy that way and because that will help other listeners like you find us. Check out our website, vcurb.com, for supporting materials, schedules, and other great stuff. The Virtual Curbside is an educational production of the Utah chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics. The opinions expressed in this podcast, while carefully considered, are ultimately the opinions of the presenters and not necessarily of the American Academy of Pediatrics or our employers. And remember, the content of this podcast shouldn't be seen as a substitute for seeking actual personal medical care. If this is an emergency, hang up and dial 911. Otherwise, schedule a visit with a caring healthcare provider to try to get to the bottom of your concerns. None of this could happen without Elisa Stoddard, our extraordinary executive director of the Utah AAP. Many thanks to Tim Cosgrove for his help on the website and logo design. Production design and editing thanks to Phil Workus, who also composed the theme music. See you next time.